Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the STR Show. This week, a legendary metal band that I just love so much. The band is Prong. They come in the studio. Gino Bisconti joins me, and it's a really fun episode. We do it every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you're a fan of Prong or any of the shows that we ever do, the ones you're listening to right now, wherever you consume a podcast, you could have heard it 5 days earlier if you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR, get a commercial-free 7-day free trial, and hear every episode we've ever done since the dawn of time. Over 300 episodes plus access to every other show on the Gas Digital Network, like 22 shows just launched with Zach Wilde, Aaron Berg, and a few more shows on the horizon, all happening at Gas Digital Network, where you can watch live in HD with live chat. Lots of fun stuff always going on at Gas Digital. But really, just listen, share, tell people about it. That's all we care about. And here it is right now, the Prong episode of the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show.
Oh my goodness. It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. With me for the first time in a while.
Hey, buddy. We're hanging out.
It is Gino Bisconti. How are you? People think we fucking hate each other.
Yeah, because people think that, because the social media has brought the world together so much, they think they know you.
Right.
When I say, like, because we run opposite sides with the COVID thing, I'm like, but the people you fight with are your actual friends. Because you'll lose your mind. You're like, look, we're ride or die. So if I disagree, I'm going
to
scream at you.
And you're allowed to not always get along with your friend perfectly on everything. Like, if your podcast or your show is, hey, you know what I think? And you're like, yeah, oh, I agree. Oh, you agree. That's not a show.
It's boring.
It's fucking boring. So I don't hate you at all, Gino. I love you. You know that.
I'm a big fan. Don't you love when you do the show and we send a picture of me and you doing shots? They're like, no, you have to hate each other.
And my mother loves you. You met my mother once.
I know. She's a sweetie.
This is a really interesting thing. First of all, I feel like it's us versus the band in the setup.
Yeah, we'll get them.
Before I even introduce them, I want to say one quick thing is that I am on, and Shannon is sick of me saying this, but I am on severe muscle relaxant drugs, and I'm wearing a like a little girdle because I fucked up my back and I can barely move.
Is it the one you threw out when you're gonna have a threesome with those two chicks?
That's another one. Yeah,
he's an idiot.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. But when you have an opportunity, that fucking legendary band is coming in studio, you suck it up, and you come do the goddamn interview. That's what you do. Yes, of course. Thank you. And they even gave me a fucking lollipop.
Right, please, cool.
So what do you say about this band? Other than that, because of this dude, really, there are bands that would not exist if it wasn't for this band, right? Basically, creating the industrial rock vibe almost. You know, I was a fan from back when I was a nightclub promoter at Limelight, and I was a DJ at Limelight, and a big early rock guy in New York. We're both fellow New Yorkers. It is the band Prong, Tommy Victor. We got Jason. We got Griffin. Guys, thank you so much for coming in the studio. And please get super close to the mic like this. Not like you're not a singer or anything.
Check.
There we go.
Testing.
So how do you pronounce it? Like Gino Visconti.
Gino Bisconti. That is exactly correct. With a B.
Oh,
like Bisconti.
Bisconti.
So like Inglourious Basterds, you know, and he's like, you know, Gino Visconti.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be an asshole. Get as close as you can to this.
Yeah, you got to say it. Do it.
Yeah, you got to talk like this. Yes.
Right. Do you speak any Italian, though?
Piccolo, piccolo, signore. I mean, not adesso.
All right, so let me
enough
say this.
Enough to confuse people. But
I said this outside. I saw you guys on tour with Obituary and Black Label Society. First, I've seen you guys. I've seen you a few times over the years, you know, but I'd never seen Obituary before live, and holy fuck. Were they great? And
amazing.
What a great combination.
Best band to tour with in the world.
It was just a great tour. It was a great lineup. And right after that tour, you know, Zach has his show now on our network. He does a podcast on this network, Zach Wilde.
Wow, killer.
Which it's called the Wild Goose Podcast. So sorry, cool about that. But like I said at the top of the show, there would be no Helmet. There would be no fucking Korn. There would be no Pantera. Even like Static X, all these bands cite Prong as the band that made them like, oh, yeah, that's a sound that I dig, right? And I think it's a fascinating thing. And I want to say on top of it all, the best thing I know is you said marathoning, running is metal. And I'm a runner and I get all the shit in the world for it. So I thank you for saying that.
You know what? I was going over the Manhattan Bridge over here when we were coming over here. And I just realized, like, after that, before that Irving Plaza show, we parked the bandwagon, and I ran from Irving Plaza all the way down to past the Brooklyn Bridge and back up there, and it was one of the greatest.
You ran. You did a run.
I did a run, and it was like a curse, right?
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Fuck.
It was fucking unbelievable, man. I was like... And you know what? I'm like, I got to move back. And you know what? My wife got a job in New York, and I'm back.
What am I going to tell him? A cunt curse?
Comedy.
She knows.
So before we even get into any music talk, just because I am a somewhat new runner, and the fans of the show make fun of me for it, because it's looked at as very not metal, not rock and roll. That's my running theme song right there. You hear it? Every time I talk about running, it's Chariots of Fire. How often do you run?
Well, and I haven't been that much because we've been going to Planet Fitness during the mornings, okay. And I've just been doing...
So more of a homosexual run, I get it.
Yeah, you
a
know.
It's,
and now it's been cold. But in L.A., man, when I was living out there, I mean, Jesus, like craziness.
Like what? Like 20 miles a week? Like 30 miles a week? Like what?
4 times 6, 24.
Oh, that's good. Jesus, that's about me.
Yeah. He's insane.
That's great.
That's nuts.
You're a couple of years older than me. I'm 52. I think you're like 55, 56.
No, I'm 60 now.
Are you really?
Yeah, I lied on Wikipedia.
God, you look great. Jesus
Are
Christ.
You 60?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I don't care if you're doing heroin for breakfast. Keep doing it.
Jesus Christ. He clearly
keep doing it because
like,
you look amazing.
My brother's always saying like, you know, when I hit 70, I'm going to start doing heroin and smoking again.
Again.
He chickened. He pussied out. He didn't do it. He just started drinking. This guy runs. This guy's
in
really good shape.
He's 12.
Jason's
right?
A big hiker. He's 11.
11. They grow up so fast.
I get younger every time we talk about this.
What's interesting about it is that you know, you're the only original member, obviously, but so many guys that have played with Prong have gone on to play. Like one dude went to Madonna. One dude works with fucking Black Label. With Ozzy rather, and. Do you think that guys join your band in the hopes of getting picked up by somebody else and going elsewhere?
That's what he thinks. Yeah, of course. Why else would he be sticking around with this bullshit?
If I'm still here when I'm 14, I'm out of this fuck.
That also happens with the techs that come on with Prong as well. Like, it'll be their first tech gig ever, and they'll be like, and then like 2 years later, they're teching for like the biggest like Zeppelin reunions.
That's funny.
The
biggest bands. So you're good at eyeing talent. You're just not good at keeping talent. Is that what it's fair to look at?
Well, I mean, we beat them into submission. We have to just... Whatever. This guy I had, he was like horrible. And eventually, like 2 years later, he was working for Billy Ray Cyrus, who bought him like a house. And,
oh, wow.
You know, it was nothing for him.
Sure, if you buy him a house, he'll stay till he turns 16.
That's true. I would.
He's a good
kid. He's a good kid.
So this made me laugh. I try to do research on people, even if I'm fans, you never know. And one thing I saw you do, this is like only 2-3 years ago, you were really shitting on, and I agree with this, on social media. Right, on how much you hate social media, that you don't follow, you don't like to be a part of it, right? And then I sent this link to my producer and said, explain you're not good at social media without telling me you're not good at social media. This is the most recent post.
Isn't that horrible? I had to do something, and it got like 3 likes or something.
It's fucking horrible.
It's terrible.
And also, by the way, you can't really see in this screen, but... It is a. You could see that it was a.
It's like a
what do they call that? Like a transparent image.
Yes.
And you didn't even have the ability to take
it. I had to do something, and it was late at night. And you know what? Fuck you. I'm proud of it now. Looking at it here, it's fucking awesome.
It and looks like a cocktail napkin from a 70s movie.
It's so like
Columbo, and he's drinking like a Boilermaker. Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
It's
if
like
I
a
didn't
Manhattan
do that,
and a grasshopper combined.
Yeah. You know, the first thing I do
is... Fuck you. That's our next T-shirt next year and our album cover.
God damn it. I want to know some questions here. Like, literally, how much time did you spend on that?
Oh, dude, like a minute. Like, you know what? It's like I had to do something. I had to do something for St. Patrick's.
I mean, it is.
You know?
It is embarrassing.
I was looking through Leprechauns and other things, and I was like, you know, Prong is like a 3. It's like, whatever. It's like, it's fucking horrible. I know. Thank you.
I appreciate that. But by the way, how badass would it be if you make that a shirt for St. Patty's Day next year? I'd be fucking cool.
You money.
I would take
obviously
one.
Obviously, you want some of the commission.
I'll take a piece of it. So I told you this outside. I had a radio show for years called The Tour Bus, and you came on. We never met in person. We did phoners. And I want to talk first, before we get into some prong stuff, we had Al Jorgensen on as well, right? Mm-hmm. And this is when you did your, as I said it, your stint with ministry, right? He said this story in very vivid detail. Maybe he's totally full of shit. The way you ended up in that band is that you two got into a fist fight, and at the end of the fight, you decided you were friends, and he asked you to come into the band. Is there any truth to that?
There's 5% truth in that. I was telling Jason about that the first time we met. I don't know what we got into. Like, right off the bat, he was just being a dick. I met him backstage, and he's like, fuck, who's this asshole? This guy from Prong. Who's that fucking band? I'm like, fuck you, dude. And like, and people were like, oh my God, no one speaks to Al that way. And he was just like, And I was like, all right. So eventually we did become friends. He was like, I respect him. He stood up to me.
But no actual.
No. I've never gotten any physical altercation with him, you know.
Came close.
No, I mean, he's very frail, and he's older than me, and he's usually completely fucking trashed out of his mind. So,
okay, fair enough. But you did stints with ministry, and you did a long stint, I think, somewhat continuous with Danzig.
I'm still doing that.
And you're still working with him, right?
Yeah.
And how does that relationship go? Because I read that you actually knew the original drummer of the Misfits from CBGB.
Exactly. No, he was one of the original guys. No, Googie. I actually played CYO basketball with him, you mm-hmm. know, when in Queens. So that's how far we went back. And then, then we had this band Antidote too after that, which people don't realize that I started that band like when we were like 17, 18 or something. Mm-hmm. So, original New York hardcore band. But Googie was, I knew Doyle and Jerry. I didn't know Glenn that well.
Actually meet him? Like, when did that come about?
We did a show. We opened up for them a bunch of times, and we did a show in Baltimore, which was an epic show. And eventually that was taped, and it came on a VCR tape that was attached to the Cleansing vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
They actually did that years ago. It was a VCR tape you got with the vinyl. And if you have that, it's worth, you know, a lot of money. So $20 or something.
And that's how the relationship started, was through that?
Yeah, that's how I first met him, you know? Like, he was just like, oh, look, guys, yeah, it was cool. And then, you know.
And because you write, you've written stuff with him?
He writes everything. You know, he comes at me and like sort of hums stuff, and I interpret it. And
you do write for ministry, though, right?
I did, too. I wrote a lot on a Rio Grande Blood record, like most of all the
music
on
that. That is a great fucking record.
Thank you, Jason.
This guy's checking his Instagram while we're doing
He was retweeting the Shamrock.
Oh, man.
Let the guy get some fucking work done.
Can I get some water, please?
he was unfollowing him after that. he just unfollowed his own fucking band after that.
I can't represent.
I actually went to follow him because I wasn't following him
yet.
He's a great social media guy. I am freaking terrible.
Absolutely terrible and the most annoying social media guy ever.
Let's do this because they are both relatively newer and compared to the
Jason's been with Prong for a really long time, believe it or not.
So how long?
12 years on and off.
And you, when did you start, Chris?
But they're like dog
officially
years.
12 days. Like 17.
He was learning the albums on the way here.
Yeah. Thank you.
In January, I officially started.
So how do you come about, get very close to the mic, please. How do you come about joining a band like Prong?
Well, I was approached by my friend who's connected me with a lot of different bands around the scene in New York and all over the place. His name is Matt. Great guy. And he just let me know that Tommy was looking for a drummer for a Black Label Society tour. So he put me in touch with Tommy, and Tommy was just letting me know the situation, that it's going to be 40 dates. So he sent me the material to learn. I learned it like super fast. I learned like 12 songs in 3 days, basically.
Are you a rock dude and you were aware of Prong?
Yeah, generally,
already?
I was aware of Prong in passing. I had known about the Black Label Society tour before I was approached by it. But they wound up going with their old drummer, Aaron, for this tour. But I had known the songs. So eventually, as the tour was ending, Tommy had reached out to me, basically letting me know that it wasn't working out with this guy, and he needed me to step in.
Okay, so now question is, because I see you have facial hair. Do you have pubes?
Yes, I do. I know I'm 11 years old, but I do. I can confirm that.
How old are you, actually?
I'm 22.
All right, that is pretty fucking young. Jesus Christ.
Do you even remember 22?
I was not anywhere near together as this
22.
Kid. That was a fucking disaster.
I've had to have the tech bring the bass in early before the show now because I have to warm up because he plays so fucking fast.
Yeah, that's yeah, got to be, by the way, if you're going to bring in a new guy, you're bringing a drummer because the drummer's going to keep the pace of the actual record and force you to play on time, right?
Yeah, no, that's totally
good work,
true.
Good work.
He's you're doing great, kiddo.
Is he really? I mean, we had, like you were talking about guys that went on to bigger things. We had Art Cruz, who was in the band for like, what, 10 years? And he went on to play with Lamb of God now.
Right.
But I think he's better than Art. So when Art first came in, I mean, Jason kicked his ass for like a year before he finally got the songs down. He's coming in and he just like, he's killing it right off the bat.
That's fucking great. It's got to be, is it at 22? Are you even realizing that? How cool it is to be playing with like rock royalty. You don't
get dope.
No, I think
you're not going to get groupies though. That's the one negative. They skew too old.
There's been some chicks out on this tour.
Let me ask you about it because that's the interesting thing. You've been, look, I think I could be, I don't want to try and quote exactly, but you basically, when you came on my show, there was Scorpion Rising, right? Which was, I know you didn't love that record,
no.
Right? But then I think you were putting out like albums like once every 3 or 4 years at one point. And then from, I want to say 2012 to now, it's been like 5 or 6 records and an EP.
Yeah.
Somewhat newly found vigor for Prong, right? And I would imagine, because that was the reunion record with Scorpion Rising, right. I think, right? So hard to believe that's fucking 20 years ago almost.
Yeah, right? That's unbelievable.
The reunion, you coming back, like the new record is 20 years ago. But now at some point, I don't know how this happened, you found a newfound invigoration. I want to do Prong music, and they're putting out consistently records in the last decade, so there has to be a bunch of people that only know you from 2012 forward. Is that fair?
There is, especially in Europe. I mean, that the records, we're on this label, it's a European label, so that happens that way. But I mean, like you were talking about Al, I mean, when I did that Rio Grande Blood album, I was like, oh shit, I got all these riffs, and I was like, you know what, why am I giving it to this guy, you know, like I'm gonna do them, you know, like get Prawn together.
That was gonna be one of my questions. Yeah, like, how the fuck did you decide that?
Why should I do that and get like 0.005% publishing off of songs, you
right
know?
So on Spotify, divide that by 1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
You so just keep moving the decimal. You'll learn. Eighth grade's coming up. It's math.
So then when he comes
it's
to
the
he's
new
like,
math, though,
he's a smart kid. He's a smart kid.
He's smart.
He's a good boy. He's like a whip. He's a whip.
He's a good boy. He keeps us all in check.
Why wouldn't you have Griffin do social media?
I can't do that around a kid. I gotta be nice. I gotta be good on this.
That's a good point, Ralph. Maybe we should do that. Yeah, maybe I gotta do something. You know,
he's not gonna put up that fucking god awful graphic. I'll
no,
tell you
that. I no. I don't know where he got that.
He probably doesn't call it the TikTok either. You know, he's young enough.
I was on the Insta-face and I put a shamrock on.
Why would you?
I love that. That's funny.
It's fair enough. All right, before we go any further, if you are an auto mechanic, a super cool do-it-yourself guy, some dude that just loves to work on his own car, let me tell you all about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. They are your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. rockauto.com has been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, or never quite have what you need, and then you have to also hassle with storefront markups. Never at rockauto.com. It's easy to find what you need, whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or just working on your own car. Everyone has the same access to all that incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So car guys out there, go on over to rockauto.com and check out all the parts available for your car. You're just going to have fun looking at the car parts. Once more, it is rockauto.com. They are so sure that they have the best possible prices, there's not even a promo code. Just tell them you heard about them on the SDR show. rockauto.com. Let's get back into it. So you openly, now in retrospect, don't like Scorpion Rising. Did you not like it then?
I didn't like it then either. We had a lot of problems making that record, so... the details are pointless. We just had a couple of jackasses working on it, and it just was a fucking
joke. But so meanwhile, were you happy with the songs when you wrote them, and you just didn't like what happened at the end?
Yeah, I'm curious.
I was almost not really into doing Prong at that point, and some guy called me, it was actually Spriggs, who called me, goes, Tommy Victor, I could get you a record deal. And he's like, I'm like, yeah. He goes, you got the band together? And I'm like, yeah. And I had... Monty Pittman, who went, played with Madonna, and we sort of became friends. He bought a bunch of gear from me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Monty, you want to jam? You want to play bass, prong? And he's like, all right, man, yeah, sure. And then we go, what drummer are we going to get? And we go, oh, we're going to get this guy, Dan. And we just threw it together, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I didn't even know. I had no idea who Limp Bizkit was or Static X and all these new metal bands at that point. So I should have probably just like done more of a new metal record to show that's where we were. But we went in some weird direction. I don't really know.
But when you're doing it, and just forgive my, because I just envision it's like National Lampoon Family Vacation. You're like, we're not quitting. We're fucking going to be whistling zippity-doo-dah out our assholes, and we're putting this record out.
Well, inevitably, I felt that way. Like you were talking about the consistent releases that came out in six, 7, 8 years. And that's how I felt about it. So, you know what? I'm just doing it.
There's no saving it. Just get it out of your system.
Yeah.
It's gotta be that way. Yeah. It makes sense when you say it. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you got to sort of write for the garbage can in a ways, and a lot of these. How many bands you listen to that?
I'm doing that with 25 catalog. Years of comedy.
Yeah, it's the same set. It's the same set from 25 years ago.
Shut up!
What's the deal with Reagan?
I tagged my Nixon joke with that.
I think so. As a radio dude, right? I always loved Prong, and that album came out. And I remember, and I don't mean to be rude, going to my, the guy I was talking about before, Scott Evil from WDHA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we were like, ah, like, goddamn, we wanted more. Then the next album, which I think was Carved in Stone, had Revenge Best Served Cold, which is a fucking great song, and that whole record is great. It seemed like an entirely different band wrote that album to the next album.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has to do with the production and guys that are involved in it. Mm-hmm. At that point, we had Alexi, who's a great drummer, and Steve Evans produced it. So, you know, I got to be surrounded by good guys. Like, when you just throw a couple of friends together and make a record, it doesn't really, it's for me, it didn't really work out. So I got to be really cautious of who's involved when I do records now.
That's pretty wild. It shows you how different it could be depending on who's around you.
Yeah,
it's titled Revenge, Your Lips Served Cold, because I listened to it 3 times today.
It's such a good song.
Thank you. Yeah. So
God damn it. I remember thinking, like, why didn't we have him on that fucking record?
That's his girlfriend's favorite song.
Oh, really? Yeah, oh, you have a girlfriend.
Yeah, my wife's favorite.
They're going to make it their prom song.
That's so sweet. You guys do homework together? So cute.
Actually, yeah. She does study while I'm just doing nothing.
Wait, so 22, though. Am I right? Did you go to college?
Yeah, I went for 2 years.
Okay, because I think you'd be graduating at 21, 22 normally, right? Is that about right?
I think so. I think at this point I would have been graduating, or I would have been in junior year.
Right, that's fucking
like a legit college, because I'll bet him in the tournament right now.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Berklee, actually, Berklee College of Music.
Where are you from?
From Long Island.
Oh, are you? Okay, you have such a proper way of speaking.
Oh.
I don't know why. He sounds like, I thought there was an accent there at first. He's like very
dignified. It comes out in passing.
Like some sort of like pompousy douchebaggy thing, right? You got that?
Yeah, a hint of douchebaggery.
Yeah.
I picked it up.
So to go back to probably the biggest record, which is Cleansing, right? Which is the one that had my favorite song of all time, Everybody, Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck, and Whose Fist. But I was a DJ at Limelight, and that ended in 92. That came out, I want to say, 94. Is that about right?
The 93.
93. Yeah, because I was no longer in DJing at Limelight, and I heard that song on the radio on SOU or something, and I was so fucking annoyed. It's like, I wish I could play that song at the Limelight because I know how well that would go over.
I mean, you're right in the pocket with this stuff, because that song was sort of designed for the rock disco thing that was going on back then, which no one even realizes. But I mean, in Europe, it's still there a little bit. Where
in Europe, it's still the number 3 stripper song.
Yeah,
in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's here.
Your cover of the Sisters of Mercy song, I used to play at the strip club. I was a strip club DJ, and that would go over huge all the time because it was a great rockier version of Vision Thing. It was just fucking great, you know.
Yeah, Jason picked that one to do that one.
Very cool, but So to go back to that song, you wrote it with like New York rock clubs in mind? That was the idea?
Well, it was to get away from thrash metal, which has all the guitar solos and the intros. And it was like, let's compact that into like simplicity and with just a driving beat, you know? Mm-hmm. So it could be for everyone to listen to, not just metalheads or, you know, to be punk rockers. You know, alternative people.
Very goth, too.
Yeah, I mean, it had all those elements. It was a crossover song that, and it was successful, like, the way it came out. You know, we've tried to copy it.
Chasing that song, or no? You're not trying
to do it. No, I don't do it, you know, because it was just, that's the way it is. I mean, we try to a fuse other things involved. I mean, Revenge Best Served Cold is sort of like that too, where you fuse a bunch of stuff together, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Like, again, writing for the garbage can, a lot of stuff is just comes out horrible.
And you said in an interview that after writing these like five or six albums back to back, you went to EPs, which is the last one, I think it's 2019, because you felt you're putting so much work into an album. And nobody really fucking listens to albums anymore.
They don't.
So what's the point, right?
Yeah, I mean, it got exhausting. You know, it's just putting out all this stuff. And I thought, oh, there's a lot of great material, like on a No Absolutes record, and people don't even know like it exists. So I was getting pissed off about that.
Right, so EPs are easier too, right? You don't have to do a whole album. Are you just doing them as they come out? Like, what's the plan right now?
See, well, now I don't like the EP idea because a lot of bands are doing it now, and it just seems like it's a cop out.
But
a little bit.
I would think, if I may interrupt to pay a compliment, like I would think, like this kind of it's in a way it's your time because, and I hope this comes out as the compliment that I mean it to be, but
you're an asshole.
But you stupid cunt. No, but like there's a thing called a comics comic where all the comedians know that fucking comic, but fucking regular people don't know who they are. And that's kind of what you guys are. Like, every band fucking knows who you are and fucking, you know, so many people are in. I saw Trent Reznor in the thing. And I think in a way, like in today's model, like you don't need this huge record label. You have your core fan base, and they will, unlike you on social media, they're good at it. And they'll get your EPs out there. So I think that, like, it's your time, dude, in a way. Not that it wasn't before, but I think that works for you. Am I wrong?
What I also would say is interesting is that...
You stupid cunt.
No, like, my other co-host on the show, Big J, my main co-host, who said once, he came up with Kevin Hart as a comedian. And when Kevin was, who probably still is, one of the, if not the biggest comedian in the world, I remember he said to me once, I wouldn't trade places with him. And I thought he was being full of shit, but he goes, no, because now that he's number one, there's nowhere to go but down. And everybody likes to cheer for you on the way up, but shit on you when you're on top. And in a way, maybe because Prong has always been this super respected band that had minor hits and have a crazy fan base, but maybe that's why Prong is still cool. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's why we still exist, too. I mean, we've seen the passing of some guys that were really big and popular and miserable.
Right.
So, you know, as I keep going in my career, and I think with other guys, too, you know, I'm thankful for the longevity. What do you think of that?
Very nice. So you were a CBGB's engineer, I guess now what are we saying, 40 years ago? Is that fair?
Oh, fuck, man. Yeah.
Is that right?
God damn.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So are there bands that stick out that you remember seeing that either A, maybe inspired your sound, or B, you were just like, oh my God, I'm so lucky I was fucking here to see this. I was at CBGB.
So many, dudes. I mean, come on.
I was there the final week I got to see Living Color. That was the final week.
That was a band, I mean, Vernon and I really bonded a lot, and he had a lot to do with us getting signed to Epic Records. Oh, wow. That was a band. I didn't mix them. They had their own person in every week, but they were playing there all the time.
Yeah, but
I go a little before that, too. Yeah. I mean...
Well, we established
like
a lot.
Mission of Burma, I saw there. I liked a lot, and the Rollins band I mixed
That's great.
God, Swans, and it just goes on.
Wasn't one of your original guys from the Swans?
Yeah, too? Ted Parsons played Swans and Prong at
Look
the same time.
Look at me
time.
Know my shit.
I'm like, huh?
Yeah, that's a good one. Good one. You know, but even before that, I mean, I used to hang out on the scene a lot when I was a kid, back in the day when you didn't even get carded in CB. So ever since I was 15, I was sneaking in there with Howie Pyro, we saw The Damned and The Dead Boys and,
that's cool.
You know, all the old punk bands.
And you were already doing music as well. Right?
Sort of, yeah. I was like, I kind of was like a shitty, like, high school musician. I wasn't very successful. Like, I played bass and tried to...
You were like the Gino Bisconti of comedy for music.
He said success? Oh, Gino, not very. Bisconti. Yes.
Yeah, so,
just waiting it out.
All right, before we go any further, you know these guys. They've been a sponsor for a long time. They are just super cool dudes with a great product. It is so simple and so easy. It's YoKratom.com, home of that $60 kilo. So when you see everything else going up in prices, like gas, like meat, like rent, everywhere, prices are going up, except at YoKratom.com. YoKratom.com, home forever, or at least as long as I can think of the $60 kilo. High-quality curated kratom at the best possible price, that is $60 kilos, and that's guaranteed from YoKratom.com. They have tons of strains, tons of unique blends,
all available at yokratom.com. So head on over right now. Find the one you love. Find the strain you love. You know it's coming direct to you. You don't have to worry about how long it's been sitting on a shelf. It's just going to be great quality kratom at $60 a kilo. Thank you, yokratom.com. And always remember to support the sponsors that support this show. Yokratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it.
Stupid question. For a long time, and I don't know much about, if anything, about wrestling, but there was a dude from the ECW, Justin Credible. That
yeah, that's it.
And he used snap your fingers. When that happens, do you get paid for that? How does that work?
Somehow, it's a long story. Like, a lot of our royalties got zapped and soaked into our record deal.
They called that a 360 deal.
Exactly. Yeah. And we were one of the first bands that they said, oh, well, we're going to take all their money, not just a little bit of them. So, like, even our publishing money sort of got absorbed into certain aspects of the deal, which is quite unfortunate.
That's too bad. But do they even need to ask your permission?
No.
That's interesting.
Absolutely not.
That's pretty wild.
What was that movie that has Swayze in it? That big dog, and it has like the opening music has Who's Fist in it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean,
and they don't. But do you get money? You're not going to see. The label might have been asked for
Patrick
it.
Patrick Swayze with a big dog.
What? Yeah, what was that movie?
Dirty Dancing 2?
No, I don't know. Whatever. There's a fucking movie.
Roadhouse.
Huh? I don't know.
You're too stupid to have a good time. That's a great
the movie sucked, and it didn't work. Yeah, but I didn't get like anything from that.
That sucks because you don't own the royalties to those songs.
No,
or whatever it is.
I do not own the royalties to any of the called. Epic Records stuff. No,
that's and you've been with SPV now for like 5 or 6 records, right?
Yeah.
Is that relationship continuing, or are you going
to... Yeah, no, actually, yeah, we re-signed with them, and it's sort of like a legacy label, which I think is good for Prong, so it's cool.
Right.
You know, it's like, I can't see us in one of these new hardcore labels or anything like that, and, you know, what are labels? Like you were saying, what are they going to fucking...
Who gives a shit now? That's funny.
Exactly.
We had, God damn it, Shannon, the guy from the car show, what the fuck is his name? The gas monkey, Richard Rawlings. Bam. Mm-hmm. We had him on the show recently, right?
It's not going
to
get that.
And he said to us, which is interesting, he left the Discovery Channel, whatever channel he's on, because he has, let's say, 5 or 6 million social media followers. He's not putting up godforsaken graphics. And when it came time to renew the deal, he said...
on the screen every time
Yeah, you should do this.
It should just flash.
He said, this should be our backdrop. By a grown man.
It'll be our new backdrop for the next 5 years.
He said that...
like the pig.
He gets more followers and more views from his social media than Discovery Channel would ever get.
Sure.
So he goes, why am I going to fucking re-sign with him? And he just launched a YouTube channel.
Like, yeah.
Why not? He's making more money that way. So I think that what's great about really full circles, when you all started, everybody started, you did shit independently, and then you were hoping to get on a label. But now it's like, no, you just do shit independently.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I come from the era where we stuffed envelopes and sent them out to little fanzines and got responses from them. And just there was a whole circuit of that before the internet and cell phones and...
Right.
Before digital technology. That's how far back I go. So it's a little difficult for me. It's like, oh, you know, what do you do?
Wasn't one, and I could be wrong on this, so I probably wasn't one of the Prong songs like the intro to Headbanger's Ball at one
Yes.
Point?
Yeah. We played it last night, actually, because the video was done at Toad's Place, which we played last night.
That's cool.
And it was used for Headbanger's Ball. Like,
that's wild. And, you know, again, with that, you wouldn't get any, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. That's ridiculous.
Jesus, don't get them all fucking riled up.
I'll use the anger for the show tonight.
When we sell our t-shirts, somehow Epic gets the money. God damn it. So I mentioned this a little earlier. You had that great covers record now like 6-7 years ago. Was there ever a thought of doing another one or no?
No, what do you think?
All right.
This time we're gonna do popular songs.
Well, that's what
that
I think
people know.
What you should do?
Can we do one by Metallica?
Why don't you do songs that nobody would expect you to do, like Prongify, like a fucking Frank Sinatra song or something like that?
Like Me First and the Gimme Gimmies.
Something, and yeah, exactly like them. But what's his name? Danzig just did a fucking Elvis record, right? Like why? But he did it Elvisy, you know. But why not just Prongify songs that nobody would expect you to do?
How about we just do versions of the Danzig Sings Elvis songs?
That's a good idea.
We do that.
A version of a version of a version.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because I think you tried with that first record, you went very inside baseball. Like, oh, these are the super cool songs that we like that no one's going to really know that well, But I think it'd be more interesting to see you do something that no one expects you to do.
I would be into that, you know, like
cover a Lilith Fair album.
Yeah,
oh, like come
Indigo,
on,
Indigo Girls or Britney Spears.
Yeah, I bet you, Sarah McLachlan,
not including him because he's 22. But you guys probably have like a song or two on your fucking playlist that you'd be mortified if people knew that you listened to that now and then.
Well, I listen to a lot of Anya, Enya,
Enya. You know it so much that you spell it, you pronounce it incorrectly. Yeah. But it's something like that.
A yerba mate.
That
I
would be
like
cool.
A sip of your yerba mate.
You call it the. I get that. You call it the. We're embarrassed to admit this covers record or something like that. That would be fucking funny.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, if we could bash it out real fast.
Yeah.
You know,
why not? I'm saying I made up a word, prongify, and that's what you should do. You should prongify a fucking weird covers record. The other one was Two Inside Baseball. End of story.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I love that record. I love all those songs that we did.
They're great, but it's so like...
It's your fault.
Now he's going to fucking blame me now.
How did you pick those songs?
Jason picked... He came up with some great ideas. So, you know, he was like...
I picked all the songs when I thought of Prong, what I thought of Prong.
Oh, fair enough.
I picked all the songs.
I mean, I get it. Or maybe do a covers record of the bands that mention you as inspiration. Why not fucking that? That's another idea. That would be cool, too.
Yeah.
Do I have to do everything? I'm fixing your social media, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Grunge. Yeah.
Do a grunge record.
I don't like that one as much.
But we influenced grunge completely. He influenced all
Meanwhile,
of
Meanwhile, so I know this. Look,
Soundgarden.
We have to do first for three people, and they have a hard out in 15 minutes.
You could do a whole album, like not an entire one, but a whole. The band to say, this is how it would have sounded if we killed Kurt Cobain and stole
there
his music.
Go. Oh.
That's a good one.
That's good.
That's a good one.
If we murdered Kurt Cobain.
Why don't we, let's think of it, like if we have somebody like Lou Reed and we'll do a record with somebody like that. Who's somebody like Lou Reed?
Why don't you get Wheeler Walker? Why don't you do Wheeler Walker Jr.? We just had him on. Get him on and do that. The country guy. You know who that is?
No.
Oh, he's worth listening to. He's hilarious. He has a song called
"You Gotta Say He's Worthless."
Yeah, he's
you're like, what the fuck,
nice.
Yeah, mom? Yeah,
his whole shtick is like he's like a Steel Panther for country music.
Oh, wow.
And he went to number one, and all of his songs are like you want to get fucked by a country boy, and it's funny shit. But he's doing really well. It'd be an interesting, like when Pantera guys did David Allan Coe.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. We've set up some very good ideas.
Yeah, we're idea men.
Country songs.
I love that kind of
Pete
shit.
Eat the fish mayonnaise.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, and here we are. Look, we're coming up. We've written your next three albums.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Can always.
All right, so before
Maybe
we do the first.
These guys can manage us.
As long as he's doing social media, I will manage it.
It'd be like that classic cowbell. I need more Shamrock.
So you're on tour with Overkill right now, right?
All day I got to spend with this guy now.
You're on tour with Overkill right now. How long is that tour going through till?
We're done tomorrow night.
Whoa.
At the Sherman Theater in the Poconos. So Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Tonight we're playing the Palladium.
Right. Well, this is not airing live, but yes.
Oh, okay. So we did it great. I mean,
it was great at the Palladium.
Last week we played the Palladium. It was fucking
so
awesome.
Now that, because you did two back-to-back tours, what's next on deck?
Well, I got to do a new record. So, I mean, you're giving all these great ideas. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. And that's what's going through my head right now.
Okay, fair enough. So nothing new is written yet.
I have a bunch of riffs, you know, like that.
He writes riffs like you make.
Why don't
sandwiches.
You dedicate one song to Griff and call it "He's Finally Got Pubes" and put out that
there
record.
You go.
Oh,
he's
man.
A nice
he's
boy. Leave him alone.
Yeah, I know.
He's a good kid.
He's a good kid, so we don't bust his shit.
Oh my God.
All right, we got to hit the first, Shannon.
It keeps
hit the
me
first.
In shape.
The first time ever I saw concert Detroit.
All right, it is the STR show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll show. We have asked every guest
like
this.
I know that last
since the dawn of time. Their first experience with all three. So we start with concert. Jason, we'll start with you and work our way down this way.
All right.
The way I put it is this. The first concert you went to, but on your own volition, not one that you were dragged to. Like, I want to go see this. Not something that, like, your older brother someone dragged you to, you know?
Autograph and King Cobra at the Chance in Poughkeepsie in 1984.
Autograph, as a former radio guy, Turn Up the Radio is one of the best talkover songs of all time because you get in every plug you need to get in that minute and a half intro. It was fucking great. But it's a good one.
And we just started this tour at the Chance. So wow. It was like a nice.
That's a nice full circle.
It was
circle.
A nice full circle moment for
yeah. me. Yeah, and now you, that's sir, awesome. It's going to be like Britney Spears or something because you're 22 or what?
I mean, I saw the Wiggles at the Beacon Theater in 2003.
Come on, recognize.
Yep. It was.
He sat
excellent.
On that for 20 minutes.
I was three rows behind him with my son.
But I did my first rock concert, real rock.
It doesn't
concert.
Have to be rock though. So you know, but yeah.
Yeah, but that, I definitely would count that as my yeah. first concert. But I saw Alice in Chains, nice. Jane's Addiction, and I think it was Coheed and Cambria, Circus Survive, all four bands at Jones wow. Beach. I think in 2012.
Right. So obviously not the original lead singer.
No, but they yeah. were still good.
Yeah, we had we did it together. The what's his name from Alice in Chains, the singer.
The new lead.
Oh my God, I forgot his fucking name. That's horrible.
William.
Huh?
William.
William. I wanted to say Willie. I was right about that. Okay, now you, Tommy, first concert.
Black Sabbath at the Garden.
That is fucking ow! Badass.
Boom.
And, way to gay out the Wiggles, huh? Come on now.
Exactly.
The Wiggles opened.
Yeah.
And it was in the blue seats, and I was by myself because the guy that I was going with bought two tickets. One for the chaperone of the evening, which was his uncle, and he lost them outside the Garden. So Jesus. I went in by myself, and I was up there and with guys. Well, it leads into the other thing, but the guys were giving me weed and go, "Hey, little dude, drink this." And I was like, I had no idea how I got home. So
what Black Sabbath tour was it?
I think it was 73. Aerosmith opened up.
Oh wow, that's yeah. fucking great! Jesus yeah. Christ,
I was like 11 or 12 or some shit.
All right, now we'll go back down in the other direction.
But starting... if he got high and laid at that show,
yeah, we've exactly. been looking.
That's
been
the
looking
trifecta.
I may have gotten laid. I don't yeah. remember the
that's
evening.
That's the trifecta yeah. we're looking for.
Yeah, for 6 years, 7 years, we were trying to find trifectas of all three in the same night.
A lot of
doubles. A lot of my first. Time having sex with drugs or first concert with sex, whatever, but never, no one's ever done all three. But going back now, the first drug you ever did after weed, unless weed wasn't your first drug.
Isn't alcohol a drug?
Nah, not one that we care about.
What are you trying okay. to teach your kid a lesson? No.
He's alcohol's a nice boy. Fantastic. We don't have to teach him a lesson.
So after weed, unless weed wasn't the first drug?
Weed was the first drug. Dude, I think it's got to be mushrooms.
Mushrooms. How old yes. were you?
Wow.
16?
16. Okay, that's a little older. Did you like yeah. it?
No. But that didn't stop me from continuing using it. But it's it was a really long trip, and these guys put it in an omelet, and like I suppose they were like, oh, you did way too much. So it was like 2 days. Attack. I was freaking
panic attack.
Yeah, exactly. It was like I remember it was like the end of 2001 Space Odyssey, where it was just like all that lights and shit flying by, and it was like I was going through time. That's the only thing I remember. But yeah, that's about it. I didn't really do anything else. I could have had coke around that time too, but.
But mushrooms.
I come from an era when everyone was fucked up all
right.
the time.
There was a lot of barbiturates.
Yeah, yes. It was all kinds of shit.
So that's a word you don't grass.
Hear. You don't hear barbiturates anymore. That word is not used.
Barbiturates.
<up.
laughs>
And what about you, sir? 22.
Oh, man. The closest I've done to, I mean, we don't count alcohol, but that's the closest thing I've done to any drug. I know.
Wow.
Your mother is listening.
Yeah,
that's it. Huh?
Yeah. He's got to go home after.
Have
this
you
tour.
Had alcohol?
I've had alcohol. The closest thing I've had to having any sip of alcohol was wine at a Passover Seder years.
You're a Jew?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, welcome to the family. That's nice. All right, fellow Jews.
Yep, I haven't gone.
Manischewitz was it or no?
Had it?
No, Manischewitz. Maybe.
I mean, at a Passover, it's going to be Manischewitz.
It was a dark grape.
Might have been.
Wow, and that's it. Nothing on the road with these guys.
Nothing.
Keep it that way.
Do you feel any...
I try to keep it
yes,
that way.
Yes, Mom, yeah. He's a good boy.
Do you feel any pressure to rock and roll out a little bit?
Never.
I've
been offered weed. I've been offered coke. I've been offered so many different things in the last couple of years.
It's not worth it.
It's no fun to do it anymore. Because when I used to do coke in college and like...
When he used to do coke in about an hour ago.
But seriously, when you used to do coke, the best
sorry,
part
I was late,
good,
coke.
The best part about even bad coke is the second before you do, you're like, this is gonna be great. Now the second before you do it or do a line, you're like, is this fentanyl? I'm gonna die. And it's no fun, so why bother?
But it's the thrill of maybe you're gonna die.
There is a deep thrill in that.
And to get on stage for that
I hear about.
The first drug you did after weed, if not weed wasn't your first drug, your first drug?
I mean, I grew up in Woodstock, New York.
Oh.
So it was I don't even remember.
Really? Fair, but it was something.
I was like 11.
A little
11.
Drug called All of the Above.
I mean, like, I was 11, and my grandmother would have, like, these like, extravagant parties, and all her friends from the New York City would come up, and there would be kegs of beer all over the place all the time, like, in the yard on the weekend mornings, and we would just get hammered at like 10, 11 years old.
I hope that your first sex story doesn't also involve your grandmother.
It kind of does.
Involves his grandmother.
It involves my great-grandmother.
All right, before we go any further, today we are drinking beer direct from knotfestbeerpit.com. Knotfest as in Slipknot. KNOTFestbeerpit.com. And fans of the show are going to love the beer available at knotfestbeerpit.com. Why? It's the best beer for metal fans. That simple. Curated beer with aggressive flavor for metal lovers. We're really happy that we got these guys as a part of the network here at GasDigitalNetwork.com. And if you're a fan of beer and heavy metal, why not check out knotfestbeerpit.com. Every month they send you 8 beers from 4 different breweries. Their beers are hand-selected by the Knotfest music and beer curators. So enjoy some beer that pairs well with whatever hard rock, heavy metal you are listening to. Once again, it's knotfestbeerpit.com. And again, it is 8 beers that show up every month from 4 different breweries, curated from knotfestbeerpit.com. K-N-O-T, festbeerpit.com. We are digging these beers. All right, let's get back into it.
All right, so we'll go back this way again. The first time you had sex.
I was 11 and... I feel like he should close his ears for this kind of shit.
Were you really 11?
Yeah.
That's great. I thought you were joking. That was your first
early bloomer.
Yeah. Wow. And who was it? A girl, a neighbor?
Denise Schweininger.
Well, not her fucking name, but like, was it
her name.
I mean, she's probably dead by now. I don't know.
But was she a friend? Was she someone? I mean, you're 11.
No, she was like one of my neighbors. I lived in the projects in Garfield, New Jersey, and she was like 16.
I thought you lived in Woodstock when you were 11.
It was both. I grew up in both. Right. It's complicated. We can get into it when we have more time, but we have to go to sound check.
Told you.
Yeah. So it was in the leaf pile behind my great, in the projects where I lived by my great grandmother's apartment.
Wow.
Yeah. In the middle of October where the old people hung the laundry. In like the
on a literal section. Pile of leaves.
Yeah. That a wet pile of leaves.
Sexy.
It's wet now. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you
still
Griff?
Wet there.
Do people call you Griff? I've been saying
yeah,
that.
Griff. Right. Yeah, people call me many things.
Are you named after the Greek mythological creature?
I think there's something, it has something to do with like my great grandmother, who's Gussie, so it's like the first name, and then they something to do with the Jewish religion, Gidon's Hebrew name.
Okay,
I don't know.
My version is much cooler.
They must have gone. They must have somewhere in
you
between thought about
we're gonna
the
call
animal.
Your parents to solidify that one.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure exactly.
And have you had sex? You're 22.
Yeah, I lost my virginity when I was 18 to this girl Claire.
How nice and normal is that?
Yeah, thank you.
How wholesome is that?
No 11-year-old dirtbag pile of leaves.
Jesus Christ!
No, but it was
drunk up on Granny's hooch. The fuck.
Yeah, it was in the back of my Subaru, which I don't have anymore.
Oh,
in
back of a Subaru?
Back of my Subaru.
Oh, how adorable. Let me guess, you were dating for a while.
No.
Talk about
like,
safe sex. That's a Subaru.
Hey, it was just a one-night thing that just kind of came out of nowhere.
Did she know you were virgin?
Yes, I think she did. She was like, "Are you sure you want to do this?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine."
That's wild.
Wow, yeah. That's that conscious.
By the way, what a sexual statement. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Let's bury this card.
It really made me want to.
And that's how it was. It was fine. You know, it ended up being fine.
And you never saw her again after that.
No.
Okay.
That was the last time I saw her.
Fine. That's very fine. All right, now, Tommy.
Sweet. Does this have to be intercourse?
By the way, because we have a lot of porn stars on the show, we usually say consensual sex to make sure it's safe. But yes, we talk about intercourse. We mean actual intercourse. Penis and vagina situation.
Believe it or not, it happened in New Jersey. And I don't know.
How old were you?
15.
Okay.
And I got like, I was at a party and I ran it. I had some other people. I was in some crappy like cover band and somebody knew somebody in Jersey and it was a big party in the house and it was one of those fucking bullshit things.
But it was a one-off thing, and you never saw her again?
No, never saw her again.
Okay, so all of you one-off things never saw her again.
Yeah.
Yep. I lived in right next door to mine.
Oh, so
I don't even remember the name. I have no idea.
Now, it was weird for like the next 3 years.
Now you only can get aroused if a pile of leaves, like in the falls when you can get an erection?
I still get hard when it rains. When it's a light drizzle.
I fucked 3 landscapers Coast. This week. It's a mess.
God, I feel so deviant. Wow. I should have said 14.
God damn it. All right, so now if you want to understand what not to do on social media, follow at Prong the
Show
band.
It again, please.
Can we have the logo back up? quiz.
And it's prongmusic.com. There it is.
I am retweeting that as soon as I get to my phone.
At prongmusic.com.
This is why I stay offline. I do shit like that late at night, and I say stupid shit online, and people get pissed off. And
he hit send. He's like, there. That's taken care of.
I just love the idea.
I get in trouble every time I go on his stupid thing.
You know, he's not like on his computer. He's like, let me get this. Let me get the prong. This is perfect. I'm going to say, I look like it was done on a
phone. He goes, sent now. We let the public come to us, everyone. Now we wait for John. What's the old wait. Mr. Burns? Every Johnny lunch pail will come.
At prommusic.com. Anything else you guys want to plug since the tour is ending right now? But anything that I didn't mention?
Well, we're going to have a whole bunch of merch coming out. I'm going to do like a whole new line of merch.
I would just say this. Based on that, you shouldn't design it.
No, that's going to be a fucking t-shirt, motherfucker.
That's going to be the fucking bestseller now.
I'll get that fucking shirt.
If you take the happy St. Paddy's Day off of it, I think it's going to work.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Talk yourself into that.
Anything else you guys want to plug before we go around the room? No?
Good.
Gino?
Oh, no, I don't have anything.
Now, Monday I'm on a... Well, I was already on... you gave Figs his own show?
No, he just recording it.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm doing a show, whatever. No, in hot water, GinaBiscani.com, whatever.
Right. Yeah, man.
Shannon, your plugs?
Gorillami.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. Thank you. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have all sorts of interesting people come on, musicians, porn stars, comedians, reality TV stars, and they tell their own stories about their worst date experience, a time they got into a street fight, and an experience with the paranormal.
Okay, now, I've been doing this lately, and Gino, you've not been a part of this. Do not give an indication. If you do or do not believe in ghosts, we are going to guess around them if they do or don't. I'm going to say yes, no, yes. What do you say?
To them, I'm going to say yes, yes, no.
Okay, Shannon.
Two yeses and a no.
I was thinking Jason and Tommy, yes, Griffin, no.
Okay, so that's what I said, right? Okay, so what is
the answer? He's a very practical young man.
Damn,
what
religious.
Do you guys say, yes or no to ghosts?
I'm on the fence. I generally lean towards no.
Okay, Jay?
100% yes.
Griff?
No.
All right, so I think I'm right. I'm taking that as a right.
I think close I got enough. Everyone wrong.
These guys also grew up right around the Amityville house. So
I
just
live in Amityville.
It.
So wait, it's no,
it.
No, yes?
No, no, it's kind of yes. It's yes and no. So I was right.
I said yes, yes, no. I got every single one of them wrong.
Yes, exactly.
I'm terrible.
Good job.
Terrible.
Right, that's,
why you're in that's why you're in the passenger seat.
Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness called The Good Sugar Podcast comes out every Monday. Our first location is opening on 3rd Avenue and 69th Street in around June or July. We always add a song to the playlist at thestrshow.com/playlist. Tommy, pick a prong song that you want to add to the playlist. I'll let you pick it.
How about However It May End?
That's a fitting for the end of the
show. Fantastic.
All right, we'll see you next time on the SDR Show. Peace.
You've been listening to the SDR Show.